Okay. Our speaker is Denise today, who will now share her experience for 20 minutes on the second half of More About Alcoholism on that chapter. So I'll give you a 5-minute warning after 15 minutes. Is that good, Denise?
Sure.
Okay.
Fine. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead. It's all yours.
Hi, everybody. I'm Denise, and I'm an alcoholic. Good to see you. Nice to be here. And to be in the UK, or I don't know if everybody's from there, but I'm a recovered alcoholic, I'll say, and I learned that from the Big Book Awakening, that I am recovered because I have no interest in drinking anymore. And I found out that my problem is not alcohol, it's me, it's self-reliance, it's I had a hole in my soul and I didn't have a spiritual program. I was always going outside of myself, and I'm a workaholic, and I'm recovering from that. And also a huge codependent, that with all of this work and the steps in that, I am getting so much, I guess I'm getting the tools to be able to see that and take a look at it and not have to please other people. So I love this story, More About Alcoholism. When I first came in, I didn't even think I was an alcoholic. I was high functioning and I didn't go to rehab and all those other things. So, but I couldn't stop drinking after 5 o'clock, a glass of wine, or more than that, but I couldn't like stay stopped, maybe a day or two. And then it got worse as in the end. And I started drinking in my 50s. Alcoholically, and then it progressed, and then I stopped at 58, and I'm now 68, so 10 years. Yeah, I thought it was 9, it's 10. So basically, I didn't know what an alcoholic was, and I thought it was somebody like a woman under the bridge with the lipstick on there all over, you know, like Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and all that. So I got completely educated here, and I love this chapter because it really gets me to see that it's a problem of not being self-reliant and self-knowledge and ego and not tapping into a higher power. And I had God my whole life. I was in a religion that I was very devoted to, but I never had God like I have God now. So I want to talk about Fred's story. I know there's the Jaywalker in this, and that's a great chapter. And the main thing with the Jaywalker is when I first read it, I was, this is so silly, you know, it doesn't apply to me. Like I would never walk out in front of a car, but when you put alcohol in there and you start to see the insanity of you, like still going back and doing the same thing with the same consequences and not being able to stop. And I learned that it was an allergy that I had. I'd take one drink and then that's it for me. But I didn't care after one drink because the obsession came, right? As we all learn. So the main thing about the Jaywalker is that, you know, no matter what the consequences, when we're in our addiction and alcoholism, the insanity is there. And we feel like we have everything under control, even though we get all these consequences that just like he, you know, ended up in the hospital, and many of us do. So the thing that I want to read on that is page 38. We admit we have some of these symptoms, but we have not gone to the extremes you fellows did, nor are we likely to, for we understand ourselves so well after what you have told us that such things cannot happen again. So this is complete self-knowledge, and we've find that self-knowledge fails us and it doesn't work no matter how much we read this. So we have not lost everything in life through drinking, and we certainly do not intend to. This is what this guy Jaywalker is saying. So thanks for the information, but I got it, you know, and that's the arrogance that we have when we're in our in self and not relying on a higher power, not relying on God. So And I have a note, self-knowledge fails and I can't Google my problems away. And I was such a Googler in the beginning. I mean, I still do Google. I still want to find things, but I know that I have to go to God. I have to get quiet. I have to meditate. I have to sit. For me, it's nature. I sit outside and I look at these monster trees I have, and I just like the clouds and the beauty around, and I just pray and I ask for guidance and help, and then I get quiet. And that was not me my whole life. I was running and running away from my problems. So I love Fred's story because he was a very put together man. He was well to do. He was in an accounting firm. He was married, a father of promising children of college age. He was a very attractive personality. I mean, it sounds like he had it all. And if there ever was a successful businessman, it is Fred. And this is on page 39. So he was stable, well-balanced, you know, the whole thing. Like, there are so many alcoholics that we meet or other people meet and see, and they're like, I can't even believe that they're an alcoholic. And it has nothing to do with the appearance and what's on the outside. It's what's inside. And we all realize that. We think differently, right? The alcoholic. And I know I did, at least. And I learned that I was the victim of the world, the victim of God, even. God was not, no one was understanding me. And since I went through the steps deeply with a sponsor that took me through the workbook, it like just changed my life. And so, so this stable guy that, you know, great personality, we first saw Fred about a year ago in a hospital where he had gone to recover from a bad case of the jitter. So he had anxiety and it was his first experience of the kind. But he was far from admitting he was an alcoholic. And I know for myself, I got to that point, even though I don't think I ever blacked out, but I did like kind of like fall asleep on the couch, drooling. And, you know, he wasn't admitting that he was an alcoholic, but I got the nerves too. When I didn't like drink for a day or two, I started getting the anxiety. And I didn't know that's what it was, that I needed more alcohol because I was putting that in my body and my body was wanting it. So the doctor strongly helped him see that he was going to get worse. And so he was depressed about his condition, but he made up his mind to quit drinking altogether. So he was just going to quit. I remember doing that, self-reliance, you know, I'm going to do this. I am not like out of control. I'm a health person. I was only drinking red wine because that was good for you. I wouldn't drink white, you know, so I was all in control. And it sounds like Fred, I can relate to that story. So Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic. And when I went in the rooms at first, I would say, hi, I'm Denise, and I don't know what I am. And then they all laughed at me. But I since know that I was an alcoholic, and I had more problems than that, which I'm so glad to know about. So Fred was positive that this humiliating experience for him drinking, plus the knowledge he had acquired, would keep him sober the rest of his life. So he decided to quit, and self-knowledge would fix him. But that doesn't work. Self-knowledge never fixed anybody. It knowing is not enough. So what does that mean? Knowing is not enough. Like, I can Google everything. I can learn everything. I can like research everything. I love that. I love learning. But it didn't stop me from drinking. And what was wrong with me? Why? Why was I doing that? And for me, it was like this emptiness inside. It was like a hole in my soul. I was not tapping in to the spirit of God, the spirit of the universe, the cosmos, the things you can't see, but you feel and you know, right? And it's an inner knowing. And when I allow myself to do that, things happen for me. Things change. You know, I feel like, and it doesn't happen like that, but the intuition comes and life is better when it's I'm stepping aside and I'm going to the higher power. And I feel like I see this in his story. So in page 40, let him tell you about it. I was much impressed with you fellows. So he was impressed with the people that Bill and Bob and all. And frankly, I did not believe it would be possible for me to drink again. So, you know, I felt that way too, but I don't feel that way anymore because I've gotten this, I know that if I ever drank again, I would continue to drink. I just know that. And I have no desire or interest to do that. But if I rested on my laurels and I didn't keep working with other people, sharing the message, you know, doing all the things, going to God, I know that I've got a mind that is just like, can't settle. I'm like in this mind telling myself stories and it's like exhausting. So I have to do something, right? But I want peace. So, and I want to be free. So how free do I want to be? And that's why I keep doing this. So I rather appreciated your ideas, he said, about the subtle insanity which precedes the first drink, but I was confident it could not happen to me after I had learned, I reasoned I was not so far advanced as most of you fellows. You know, I heard those stories in the room. I read Bill's story and it was like, yeah, I'm not like that, you know? And I drank because my religion fell. I drank because, like, you guys don't understand. You don't have that. So I had a reason, you know? And when I talked to my sponsor about it, she said, that's not why you drank. You drank because you have a mind that, you know, it is in self and that you are an alcoholic. And I fought it. At first I fought it, you know, but then when I did this work, I really got to see this. So when I am in self, I am restless, irritable, and discontent, right? But when I'm in God's spirit and I'm looking to the higher power and I'm getting quiet, then God will lead and I will follow. Okay. So then he says, I reasoned that he was not so far advanced, but I had usually been very successful in licking other problems. So I was a controller fixer. I have a cleaning business. So I can I manage big homes, right, on the beach in the New Jersey area. And I'm very successful at it. People like me, but that's a good job for a controller fixer, but it's a job, right? So, but I can't do that in my life. And that's what I realized. And even in my job, I go to God now for that. I ask God for guidance for even like employees and stuff because, and how I treat them and all that, and things that are much better. So he says, I felt I had every right to be self-confident and that would only be a matter of exercising my willpower and keeping it on guard. So now, there's the arrogance, you know, I had the self-confidence too, although I was beat up by alcohol and I didn't understand it. And they, in the people in the rooms and you guys were happy and I wanted to know about that, right? And I did finally let myself like let go and look at it. But, you know, a little fighting along the way. So we're going to watch Fred's progression. So he went out of town and he had it on this dry spell. And there was nothing new about this. Physically, Fred felt fine. He had no pressing problems. There was not. Here's what he says in page 41. It was the end of a perfect day, not a cloud on the horizon. So there was really no reason to drink, and he drank. So he went to the hotel. It crossed his mind that he should have this. And, you know, if I don't do this and I don't work my program and I don't especially pass this message on and work with other alcoholics, and it helps me to remember all of this and see the beauty of the spirituality of this book. And I do want to share before I go on that I believe this is one of the most spiritual books out there. And I never thought that before. I thought it was just AA, big book. First, I thought it looked like the Bible, so I didn't want to see it because I had been in a religion. And then I, you know, Bill's story, like, these guys aren't like me. And now, of course, I can relate to everything. But when I gave it that chance and let go and let God, and God brought me a sponsor that brought me through this workbook, which I had never even heard of, that's when things changed for me. And I got to see that this is one of the most spiritual books. And every time I read it with a sponsee and go through these steps, I'm like, my mind is blown. And I went to India a few months ago, about 6 months ago, and I met one of the gurus, masters, you know, he's very spiritual. And I told him about, you know, we're in a recovery retreat with Tommy Rosen, Recovery 2.0. He's actually in England right now. But anyway, so he knew we were all in recovery. And I told him about, you know, this sounds so much like the big book, all the things that the Hindus say and talk about and the sutras and all that. And he said, you know what? That big book of AA, to me, is one of the most spiritual books out there. So he like reiterated that. And that was like a guy from India that is really like over the top spiritual. And I thought that was beautiful. And I've heard that from priests and all, that they also feel this when the ones that read it and see like the progress that comes. So yes.
That's 15 minutes.
Okay. Thank you.
Carry on.
Okay. Very good. So here he, as soon as he regained his ability, he carefully went to Washington. He was not only had he been off guard, he had no fight whatsoever. So that shows us that the relapse comes if we're not working this. And again, if I'm in self-reliance. So I want to make sure I get page 42. So he did, he drank at that bar. And they had said that I did raise a defense, it would one day give way before some trivial reason for having a drink. So if we don't have that cornerstone or that solid foundation, as it says, and work these steps, be willing to do some work, right? Then we don't have that defense, and we're in self, and we got this, you know? And if we got this, God doesn't have it. And then we don't step aside, and then we can't let God in. And then we don't have the peace, and I don't have the peace. Well, that just did happen and more. For what I had learned, and this is Fred, of alcoholism did not occur to me at all. I knew from that moment that I had an alcoholic mind or a spiritual malady. I saw that willpower and self-knowledge would not help in those strange mental blank spots. And that's what we get when we're in self. So now we have the chance to wake up. Okay. So, and then we had the strange mental blank spot, and he had never been able to understand people who had that problem and had them hopelessly defeated. He said, I knew then, and it was a crushing blow, that he was just like them. And I guess the humbleness came in, the arrogance started to go away. And this was his first step experience that he's powerless, like we all get. So then, two of the members came, you know, they smiled at him, and they asked me, this guy, Fred, if he thought he was an alcoholic, and if I were really licked this time. And then, of course, I had to concede, and I think we have all been through that I needed help. And that's when I let God in. And then I'll go down to 42, the paragraph that says, then they outlined the spiritual answer and program of action. So it's a spiritual program of action. We have to take the action, but we also have to go in and realize that I had to realize that it was the fourth dimension of existence that I had to be in, something I couldn't see, but I had to feel it. And I had to let go, and I had to calm down. And now my husband and I, for 5 years, have a beach meeting on Friday or Sunday night near Atlantic City. And it's called Daily Reflections at Dusk. And that's like the most spiritual time I feel, when that sun's going down, we're together with other people in recovery, and I can sit there and have peace, you know, instead, because I ran all my life, you know, and I couldn't sit. People told me I should do yoga, and I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to be a slow exerciser. And now I do yoga and I love it, and it calms me. And yeah, I agree. So that's the spiritual answer. And it, so this means, as Fred saw, it meant I would have to throw away several lifelong conceptions out the window. And that's what I had to do. I had to set aside prayer. I use it every day. God, help me set aside everything I think I know. Help me see things differently. Help me have a mind that is guided by you and not my own self-will, right? So that was, let's see, it meant he would have to throw away several lifelong conceptions, but that was not easy. But the moment I made up my mind to go through with the process, I had the curious feeling that my spiritual malady or my alcoholic condition was relieved. And in fact, it did prove to be. So this whole thing is about change. Okay. It's not about, no one's going to do this for me. Only God can do that. And the things that I got to see about, I'm not the victim. I have things that, ways that I've acted out of fear and not love, that ruled my life from when I reached puberty. I mean, that's what I remember. When I was a kid, all right, not so bad. But I remember it from the time I turned like 11 or 12, things went off in my mind. And I had no idea what on earth that was. So quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my human problems. I mean, what a statement there. And it does. And I get to see that not only with myself, and yes, I have problems still, but things are better. I'm getting more peace. The problems are there, but I still feel peace, right? And I see it in my sponsees. And that's the thing that really like excites me, because I see the light come on in their eyes. I see them growing and them like switching that thinking of the way that, you know, we used to be in self and the complaining and all that. So I have to be willing to give up several lifelong conceptions. And it's not about drinking. It's about access to power. And I know I have a few more minutes. I'm going to wrap it up. And I have to get that access to power. God is always there, always in every one of us, but we don't see it. I don't see it because I'm running too much. There's no way that I'm going to be able to feel it. And I love that I can get quiet and feel it. Even in the midst of this cleaning business I'm doing, which is a summer schedule that can be nuts, I still get that. And this meeting, I just love. And I have a note here from an old timer. It says, even when it's not okay out there, you can still be at peace. You are still at peace. And he says, and that's when you've arrived. I love that statement, right? So that's when we've arrived. Like he said that to me years ago. And I was like, you can have peace when it's chaotic out there. I can't, you know, but I feel it now. And people want to be around me more. And my family was just here. My daughter is in the Sound of Music playing Maria, and they all came from all over. And I hosted them this weekend, and it was busy, and I was tired from working, but we had the best time, right? And that didn't happen years ago. They wouldn't have wanted to come to my house. I was too controlling and fixing and all over the place. And we just got, my aunt came too. She was 85, and we're all type A, right? There's five of us, but three came, and we're sitting around the table in the morning, the next morning, look at our phone, sharing pictures, doing this, and we're eating breakfast. She said, give me your phones. And she took every one of them and she put them aside, and we laughed and we loved it, because we have to learn to be in the moment, not in self, not in all this. And we'll miss, right? We miss things. And that's one thing this guru told me us all when we were in India. And he really talks about this a lot. His name is Anand. He said, this is how you're all going through life. And you're just following your phone and you're in that and everybody's looking and you're not here in life. And I could really feel that, you know, like he says, put it aside. When you go to bed, get it in the kitchen, get it out of your room and just be with yourself, you know? And I see that now. And my aunt's 85. She sees that too, right? The old timers, they know we're just like ruled by it. Our poor, you know, our kids, they don't even have like social abilities, the grandkids and all, because they're always in their iPads. So I have a really good note about this. Quite as important is the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. Okay, so I'm suffering because I'm not going to God. Would solve all my human problems. And I have been brought to a way of living more infinitely, more satisfying, and I hope more useful than the life I lived before. So if this is Fred, like he woke up, right? This is a successful businessman, arrogant, probably handsome, good personality. And he couldn't get out of his way. And I couldn't get out of my way my whole life. And when I did in my 50s and really 60s, that's when I arrived. That's when I feel peace. That's when I feel like I'm really living because I don't have to be in here, right? So I have a note. We suffocate ourselves with ourself. I was suffocating myself with me, with my personality and all the things about you don't see me. If you only listen to me, only I could explain this, then you would be fine. And people didn't want to hear it. So God is the problem solver, and we have to go to God for everything. He will help me right now and bring me back. So we don't have to wait to get good. I realized I didn't have to wait to, you know, maybe pray more and, you know, get quiet and go and meditate like the gurus and the Buddhist people. It's right now. God meets us where we're at. And that I love. And so if I have now, okay, so he said he would not even be able to drink, even if he would, because there is no choice. This is a more useful way of living. I feel it. I have problems still, but now I can still get the peace and I have the tools to get that. And it feels like one thing builds on another. And then I'm just going to end with this. As two of you men, this is page 43, whose stories I have heard, there's no doubt in my mind that you were 100% hopeless, hopeless apart from divine help. And I feel that deep in my soul, that I had a religion that fell and I thought God abandoned me and I served him for 30 years. And now I feel like 100% that I got led to AA. Like, who would have thought AA would bring me to God? And that brought me to God. And I got divine help. And we all get divine help. It's just, can we see it? Are we going to step aside? And so all that complaining gradually went away because I realized God was there all the time. And, you know, so I have profound respect for the spiritual approach. So then the last paragraph, once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no mental effective mental defense against the first drink, because it's our humanness. Neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. I can't do this on my own. Self-knowledge fails. I can't read all the wordy books, and I can't even read the big book myself and get and be like, I'm clear. It must come from a higher power, whoever that is, right? For you and for me, it's God. And am I willing to let God recreate my life, or am I just saying this? And so when I get willing and I do it and I pray to God throughout the day, and my other step guide said, set an alarm every 2 hours. And when that little beep goes off, just shoot up a prayer. And I'm like, well, I work, I clean, I did it. And it was like, it changed my life, right? A couple seconds it takes. And even just the set aside prayer or the serenity prayer. So that's all for me. Sorry if I went over, but thank you so much for letting me share. Okay.
Thank you.